GOB67, Road Rage. I was asked to speak at the Scottish Bird Fair, or to give it its proper title, Scotland's Big Nature Festival. And knowing that there was no way I could take all I needed on a plane, and having picked myself off the floor when I saw the price of a train, I decided to drive up, hoping to see some species we don't get down in the southeast corner, naively as it turned out. So Hawkeye and I loaded up and got going. It's a fair old drive, so there was plenty of time to watch out for wildlife all the way. The mammals list was extensive. Muntjac, then fox, rabbit, hedgehog, grey squirrel and brown rat, all pretty well expected. No less than 2 polecats was a bigger surprise, although more than likely they were feral ferrets. Several badgers were inevitable, but as we got further north, there were a number of hares and 3 roe deer. Birds included blackbirds and lots of pheasants, with some corvids, 2 kestrels, and various others I couldn't ID. Of course, the sad truth is none of these were extant, but each was a squished fur or feather ball on the side of the carriageway. I assumed that the motorway would be the biggest slaughterhouse, what with plenty of traffic and fast speeds, but not a bit of it. It was the frustrating A roads, ones where you might spend 20 minutes with only the back of a truck to look at. The A1 over the border was carnage, with deer on the road or lying barely scratched on the embankments. You might assume that this was just bad luck, random strikes on critters accidentally crossing the path of an HGV. However, looking at the endless English and Scottish fields and the open hillsides en route, it dawned on me that wildlife was concentrated on the edges where the habitat was richer. Hedges and verges, motorway banks and the public cannot access, ditches and all were more attractive to birds and beasts than the arid agribusiness and boring monocultures along the side. It's no wonder that animals are drawn to the most dangerous places for them. Attracted by the warm areas the cars create as they pass through, or the weed seeds that are blitzed in the fields and left to run riot on the verges. It's as if we magnetise the strips that run between hard surfaces and make them into no-go zones. It's fortunate that there are still some areas of the UK with huge natural habitat, but the more pressure we put on the green world to feed us or house us, and the more concrete paves our roads, the more wildlife get marginalised. The journey north had another profound impact on me. I've always thought of the Garden of England as one of the richest in bird life, and during migration times or specific coastal wetlands that may well be the case, but every village I went into in the northern bits of England and the southern bits of Scotland, I was struck by how much richer they were than my home county. Swifts, swallows, house martins all seem to be doing well in Yorkshire villages or Scottish towns compared with how thin on the ground they seem to have become in southern climes. Warblers, flycatchers and finches seem to be the norm on a village edge, whereas my corner of the world gets skinnier pickings. Maybe it's the intensity of land use in town and country, but I'm also convinced that the rising sea temperatures are pushing a lot of everyday birds further north and robbing the south of its diversity and abundance. Johnson said that the only good thing about Scotland was the road to England, but I want to emigrate to where the government and wildlife suit my soul much better.